Book of Nahum. I'd like to read here the first, let's do the first 15 verses of chapter 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned in his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the prophets, the messages they brought. Lord, though they were long ago and concerned things of long ago, they still have application yet this day. You've recorded them for a reason. They're here for our examples. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to learn from this tremendous little book of Nahum. Strengthen us in you. Cause your folks to grow in Christ. And I pray, O God, for any soul in this room that's without the Savior, that it would be a day of salvation. O God, in your infinite wisdom and power, reveal to them their need and the one who can meet it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Nearly 150 years before Nahum came on the scene and brought a message to the city of Nineveh, we find another prophet who had come to Nineveh. We find that he did not want to go there, but yet God, through his infinite wisdom and grace, got him to the place of his assignment. His name was Jonah. He had come with a message of love, and we find that the city under his preaching had repented. Jonah, however, was not happy about it. Perhaps one of the greatest revivals ever, and the preacher who preached it was unhappy because the people were not his friends. You see, they were his enemies. We find that many years later that Nahum comes with a message, but his message is one of judgment. It was a message that it was sure to come. They had passed beyond that point of no return. If you go to the very last book, the last verse of the book, you notice it says, "There is no healing of thy bruise, thy wound is grievous. All that hear the brunt of thee shall clap the hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually?" He is saying, you have done it until his grace has now run out. And thus we find this message of judgment upon the city of Nineveh. It's a burden we find in verse number 1, a burden that came to this man of Nahum. We know very little. Actually, we know nothing about him. And yet we find that God used him to bring this message. It's a message that, as we notice in the first few verses, that gives us the wonderful magnificence of God. Notice with me verse number 2 again. It says, God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries. He reserveth wrath for His enemies. And yet we find it says He's slow to anger and great in power. We find that God is a wondrous God. He's magnificent. We as people sometimes have a hard time understanding, how is it that a God of love can be so jealous? How is it that a God of love can bring upon people furious actions of judgment? And yet I believe the problem lies in the fact that you and I have very little idea of the wondrous holiness of God. He is one that cannot be tainted by sin. He is one that cannot have that which is ugly and black upon Him. For God is a holy God. And yet we find that God in His furious wrath is, what do we find here? Slow to anger. He is one who in His judgment also has wonderful grace. I've wondered many times, why is it that you and I just cannot understand that God is repulsed by our sinfulness? You ever wondered that? I find these sometimes at the hospital. I've gotten in trouble a few times because I pulled them out of their containers. And you have a little fun. These here are a little bit tight. But you can blow them up and they make five-finger balloons. It's cheaper than the balloons in the gift shop. They're already provided for you. Amen? So what are you putting on gloves for? You'll figure it out in a moment. Two ladies stand up here and kind of get around here. Some of you were nominated by your husbands. I said, would any of you nominate your wife because she's beautiful? And Rachel, Chris, he was well. He was afraid to speak up out loud because you were sitting next to him. And you didn't want to be up here, right? But you're here now, okay? And though this lady is... grown elderly in the years I've known her, the hair used to be a different color, wasn't it? And that's not dye up there. It's pretty hair, amen? I like white hair. Trying to work on it myself. Okay? And Quentin thinks you're pretty good looking. I just picked on Carrie because I wanted to, but she's a cute young lady, amen? Say thank you. Amen. And your husband back there, Sarah, was doing the same thing. Amen. I like these scarves ladies are doing nowadays. I was told this. A tie and a scarf accentuates the face. It says, look up here. And for some of you guys, that's a great help because... yeah. Oh, I'll be nice. And Bill was back there doing the same thing. And I know that she'd been back there doing this because I've seen her do it. How many agree that they're very nice, attractive ladies? Yeah, they are. They really are. And, you know, if you're going to, you know, do something, you ought to, you know. Oh, isn't that nice? Huh? Yuck. Oh, my goodness. Show them your hand. You will? Yeah. Oh, let's just...
Oh, not the white hair. That's fishing.
You need that. That's what we are. We're sinful. Is that kind of gooey?
Yeah, I'm saying so.
I really didn't expect you to do that. Even wiping it off, won't you show it to them? It's not coming off real easy. You gonna be mad at me? I want us to get something very important. Did you see Mary go back? Patty was trusting me, probably would have let me put my hands on her face. You didn't want to get your scarf messed up, did you? Why?
It'd be dirty.
Oops, I got it on my hands too, didn't I? Do you need another one? By the way, that was soap. Got it everywhere. I had on gloves. I want us to get something. Holy women of God. Representative this morning of Almighty God. You and I with our sin, when we come near, it's repulsive. I noticed that most of them really didn't want to shake hands. But one did. And what did it do to her? Now she's stained. Forever marked. That was tattoo ink. I want us to understand something. Though God be holy, He cannot allow our unholiness into His presence. He's a jealous God. He is jealous of His holiness. He is jealous of who He is. Perfection. And like your beautiful hair, and I do love you here, though I was giving you a hard time. To put my hands there would have made it look terrible. And even with wiping off, she's still stained. And it's brought imperfection. I really feel bad. That's the way we ought to feel before God. In verse number 6, it talks about who can stand before Him. You see, here were people, ladies, you can be seated. Here were people that God had spoken to 150 years before they had repented. New generations have come forth. They have gone back to their gods. And a new messenger comes with a message from God. And that message is that God is holy and righteous, and He is going to bring judgment. Why is He going to bring judgment? Because He is holy. He cannot allow that filth of our lives into His presence. For when He does, His hands are now marked. So what must God do first in order for you and I to come into His presence? Because when you go down to verse number 7, it says the Lord is what? Good. A strong hold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. He's a strong hold. A strong hold. Come here. Yeah, come here. I'm picking on pretty girls. I'm sorry, but you're just not a pretty girl. One of those good boys, huh? A strong hold. Where's your hand at? What are you in here, texting? A strong hold. If I was going to go across the street and I wanted to protect her, I'm not going to say, grab a hold. I'm going to do what? I'm going to grab her. In the book of John, chapter number 10, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ having His hand upon us. But also there in chapter number 10, we find that God has His hand upon us. And can we see the double-handed protection of our God? Don't worry, nobody's going to hurt you right now. Because I'm going to take care of her. And this mean little boy here, if he comes up here, I'll sock him in the nose. He ain't going to do it. Looks like somebody already got you, buddy. You lost some teeth, didn't you? But what do we find? Thank you. What we find, God is a stronghold. When? What's it say? Time of trouble. Judgment is what we deserve. But God loves us. And God wants to take, and God wants to cleanse us. Rachel, God wants to take that hand and take His soap, if you please, to it. And cleanse you with it. That you might have purity once again. And then you can stand in His presence. And He is good. He is righteous. He becomes that stronghold. And did you notice something that He says there in that verse? It's tremendous. He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knows them. He knows who you are. How old are you now? 23 and you're willing to admit it. Who cares, right? This is Emily. Most of her life, I couldn't keep her name straight. I was calling her Christine. I don't even have her name right most of the time because I think it's Christina. I messed up, but God knows. How many know who this guy is? Can you tell me his name? That is not his name. I'm not going to tell it, Doc. How many know what Doc's name is? Besides Mr. Martin. You know his first name? I might tell you if I knew how to pronounce it. But it is not Doc. But God knows who he is. God knows him. Lauren, God knows your name. He knows you. How many in this room can say, "Preacher, I know the name of every person in this room"? Isn't that amazing? Wow. How many know what this little girl's name is? Some of you do. Most don't. Huh? Most don't. Yeah. How many know who that lady is right there with the reddish hair or whatever color it is this week? It's always the same. How many know? But not everybody. God knows everybody. God knows our name. God knows who we are. What are you getting at, preacher? You know what we deserve? We deserve the message that God was giving to these Ninevites. We deserve the message of His wrath. We deserve that. And yet we find in the midst of that message, it tells us that God is good. It tells us He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. It tells us that He knows who we are, those who trust Him. God knows us. What magnificent grace we have in the Lord God who knows us and can save us from our hell-deserving sin. As we study this tremendous chapter in this book, we find that God comes upon this nation and brings destruction because they had turned their backs upon Him. They would not accept His grace any longer. We find that there was a man by the name of Sennacherib, I believe referred to in verse number 11, a wicked counselor. We find that God says that there would be a flood that comes upon them. And do you realize that in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, in these early years, as they came upon this city of the Ninevites, then the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth, a city that was surrounded by gigantic walls, basically, it could not be taken. And yet, do you know that when the armies were there, not caused by them, but by God, a flood came and destroyed the foundations of part of that city, and they were able to come into the city and destroy it. Just as God said that He would. Somehow we think in America, because we are so strong, that God's message means nothing. We have turned our backs upon the message of God as a whole. And there is sure destruction to come. And yet we think, well, we're the most powerful nation in the world. We forget who God is. We forget that He is a God of holiness, a God who will not tolerate our sin. And somehow we've got this tainted idea that we can just walk up to God with our dirty hands and He's supposed to just take us in. The only way that takes place is by Him cleansing us first. That's it. Otherwise, we must meet with the judgment of God. The Ninevites would not listen to God. They would not hear the message of Nahum. And the judgment of God came. It is a sure thing. Why? Because God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And He cannot have in His presence that which is sinful. And yet here we are with all of our sin. Here we are with dirty hands. And the only one that can cleanse them is the Lord Jesus Christ. Got your Bible? Go almost to the rear of your Bible, clear to the end, just before the book of the Revelation. Go back a couple of small books. We come to a little five-chapter book, 1 John, chapter number 1. In verse number 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from what? Oh, I'm glad you emphasized the word all. He is the one who can do that. He's the one that can take it away. He's the one that can take that indelible ink of sin out of our lives. That which taints us, that keeps us far away from Him. We cannot come to His presence with it. These ladies, bless their heart, they were willing, really, to trust me. They really didn't want to get all messed up. Carrie. Virginia. Virginia, sister. Now I can't even think of your sister's name. I was going to call you that. But God, He can cleanse. Amen. That is what we need. I hope and pray the next time you look down and see dirt on your hands, you'll think, nobody wants me touching them until they're clean. And we can't clean them enough for God. He's got to do it Himself. He's the only one that can. Have you let Him do that in your life? Let's pray. Father, I pray today that You help us to just see great, wonderful truth. That You are holy. You are righteous. That sin cannot come into Your presence. Oh God, help us to see that we must allow You to cleanse us. Oh God, I pray that You would just work in every heart and life this morning. No doubt under the sound of my voice are some who need You as Savior. No doubt also there are some of us as Christians who also need to take to heart this cleansing. For You are faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. God, I pray You work in our lives in these moments. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.